Welcome to Central City Underground. This is Central City Underground episode number 127. I am Chris, aka The Professor, and we are talking about the CW show The Flash. Today's episode, we are talking about season 5, episode 17, Time Bomb. I am solo today, Undergrounders. The story's voice, Jada, is under the weather. This is going to be an exciting episode because this was, I think, a really good episode. Something we're doing for the first time with this episode, and if you're listening to this after the fact, you are missing out because I'm doing this show live in the Central City Underground Facebook group. This is a unique new twist for this podcast. I know there are a lot of podcasts that do this from time to time, and this might be something that we consider adding. Now, this one I'm kind of doing a little bit last minute, but I want to make sure that I throw that out there because we do this podcast for you about a show that we enjoy, and we know that those of you who listen and join in the Facebook group, you enjoy the show as well. So we would love to have you be a part of the show. So for example, X-Force 11 is watching me record this live, and you can be just like X-Force 11 the next time we announce this. All right, let's start with the synopsis for this episode, and then I will get into the ratings, things that made me go, ooh, Easter eggs, plot points, and then we've got some great feedback from you, the Underground. Team Flash finds out that a suburban mom named Vicky Bolin is in danger, and they race to save her. Upon meeting her, they discover she's a metahuman who is hiding her abilities from her family. Barry encourages Vicky to share her secret with her family, which makes Nora realize she needs to come clean with her parents about Thawne. Now, as we've seen, these episode synopses, synopsi, synopsises, I don't know. I should know. I'm the professor. This isn't really an accurate synopsis of the episode. Let's take a look at the ratings. I gave this episode 9 out of 10. Oh, no, Sherlock didn't. I thought this is a very solid episode from top to bottom. This gave me a lot of what I was looking for in this episode. I got more information about Nora and Thawne in the future. And I think the multiple storylines in this episode worked and worked together. I will get into what I didn't like about the episode, and that really had a lot to do with Ralph. And I'll get into that. Now, I know Jada is not here, but Story's voice did have a rating for this episode, and he's got a number and then a number in brackets out of 10. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to go with his higher 8.5 out of 10 brutally heartbreaking secrets revealed. So Story's voice and I are on the same page in terms of things that really stood out, and as any good TV show is going to do, they didn't give us what we wanted until there was, 30 seconds left in the episode. So 8.5 out of 10 from Story's voice. Now, let's talk about some things that made me go, ooh. First and foremost, this concept of the Starkives. How cool was that? That made that I was like, ooh, oh my goodness. That's pretty neat. So some things that stood out when we got some footage in the Starkives, which is this offsite location of where, I don't know, it's like self-storage for Star Labs, which makes me wonder, when we see the outside of Star Labs, what are they store? Why do they need to store things off-site? There's like 5 people that work at Star Labs, right? I think it's 5, unless there's people we don't know about. But I don't know what they're needing to store off-site. All right, but some things we see in the Starkives. If you look closely, you could see the helmet that Barry wore in the pilot episode. Remember that big, goofy helmet with the camera and probably had sensors all over? It looked like a glorified bike helmet. So that helmet is in there. We also see the Savitar gun that Caitlin used to shoot Savitar when he was trying to make himself appear throughout time at all instances and all moments. We see that gun. We also see on a mannequin the season 4 suit. Now, there were some other things, but those were the 3 things that stood out to me. What are some things that stood out to you? Feel free to share that in some future feedback, and what you saw in the Starkives. Next up, things that made me go, ooh, Operation Shazam. This was cool. One, because it's a reference to Shazam. If anybody tells you it's a reference to the musical app, they're lying to you. It's just that simple. DC comic show, DC TV, Shazam coming out into theaters. It's Shazam. Now, I don't know if that references the fact that Shazam exists in the Arrowverse, but hey, we'll take what we can get. So Operation Shazam, I really liked it because it's just your good old fashioned, how does time travel work? It sort of seemed like something you'd see in the movie Frequency, which was not really time travel, but communication across time. And that's what you see as Barry and Sherlock and Cisco are out in the outskirts of Central City, as it were, and they find Thawne's time sphere. They're alerted to it being missing from the Starkives, but so we're checking the Starkives, we're checking out in the woods, and we discover that it's the same time sphere because they do the scratching of a lightning bolt, another Shazam reference. So I thought that was pretty cool. Then we have a love fest for Spider-Man as Ralph tries to get Camilla to be on Team Flash and wants her, literally, he shouts it out, to be bitten by a radioactive spider and become a spider person. And there was one scene where Ralph is in the hallway outside his office or Iris's office or his office when she comes out of the interview. Ralph is there with Cisco. And you actually get the thwipping and the hand motion that I'm doing for the people watching on Facebook as he went to like shoot webs, but they didn't actually say Spider-Man. So I found that kind of interesting because they've said Hulk. They've actually said, I think, Marvel Comics on the show, but for whatever reason, they could not just come out and say Spider-Man. I enjoyed all the spider people references, and Ralph was trying really hard to get Camilla to be on Team Flash. Next up, we have things that made me go, ooh, was Flash outrunning Cicada's dagger. That was really cool. Obviously, anytime we get some hardcore Flash speedster running, it always just looks, it always just looks so cool. And I know that that's something that Jada wanted to point out as something that made him go, ooh. But having seen his note, obviously, that was something I thought was really cool as well. Yes, Jeff, who's watching me do this live, thank goodness for editing. All right, let's get into the plot points for this episode. So first, let me get the thing out of the way that I really didn't like at all. And that was, again, going back to what I just talked about, relationship Ralph, Camilla, and getting Camilla on Team Flash. I really empathize with Cisco on this one because he's really, I don't know if he's consciously looking for something normal, but he does express in the episode how this relationship is something he feels is close to normal. And again, I think this is part of how he's going to wind up exiting the show for some, whatever his personal reasons are. I think this is going to be his out as a character. This relationship, looking for something new, perhaps the metahuman cure will factor into that. This is the piece of the episode where I think they could have taken all of that out and given us more fun, given us more grace. And even the other story with the mom, with Vicky Bolin. I mean, that is just an example of another small part of an episode paralleling the main story. Was it necessary? I don't know. But I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned that piece of the episode. You know, Vicky Bolin, there's some resistance to Barry about wanting her to like tell her family. And I could see both sides of it. Should she have told her family that she had metahuman abilities? I can see yes. I can see no. I can certainly understand why she didn't. She wasn't a hero in any way. You know, obviously a couple of years ago in the timeline, you know, the event happened that happens to kill Grace's parents. Obviously that has come back to bite her, and that's really shaped Grace and future Grace and everything that happened with her and Cicada as a child. And, you know, technically she's still a child in the coma, but we got the future version, which if I can go off on my own tangent. Sure you can, Professor. We still need to know how she got the time sphere. So if I go back to the beginning of the episode where we get that conversation with Nora and Thawne, there's just something about Thawne, and I think many of you will agree, that he's coming off confused, and I will not be surprised if in the end he has orchestrated all of this. That he will, I would not be surprised if we get a scene where he interacts with future Cicada, Grace Cicada? I don't know. What do we want to call her? Where he interacts with Grace, future Grace, and, I mean, how else would she know about the time sphere? It seems like, I mean, again, a lot of questions. We still got some episodes left. I believe we've got 5 episodes left. And, you know, we have a lot more questions that we need to get answered. We also get in this episode Nora being strangely connected to Grace Cicada. Now, from watching the live stream comments in our Facebook group, nobody saw that effect coming. The actual visual effect of her eyes, which was kind of cool, kind of creepy, but for some reason, Nora is still mentally connected and has these visions or these flashes, there you go, has these visions of when Grace Cicada is showing up to a location. And it really manifests itself in a unique way. We also finally get some new reverse flash footage. So we get Sherlock taking a device. He's the one going in and out of the Starkives. And it was just kind of eerie, him sitting in the wheelchair, putting on Thornwell's glasses, and just watching. You can see his brain putting it all together and just working it out verbally and navigating the wheelchair and finding what I'll just call a futuristic USB drive. It goes to Gideon. We get some new footage of Thornwell's from the very beginning, where we see the beginnings of the Speed Force language, the writings, because that's the first time we saw them was when Barrett comes out of the Speed Force last season. And we get video diary entry number 247, which is the very beginning of Thawne putting together the Speed Force language, cracking reality, and, you know, maybe it's this language and this idea that, you know, the timeline is malleable and everything that Thawne develops, that this leads to or is somehow the source code of the multiverse. So I've read some articles. Hopefully I remember to link to them in the show notes. That sort of starts to piece together how what's happening here in the Flash Season 5 fits into Crisis on Infinite Earths, which Jade and I have talked about. I know it's being brought up on the other shows here on the network, whether it's Arrow Squad or Made of Steel. So this is a really great season of The Flash. I know that there are some people who might feel differently, but this is, I think it's leaps and bounds and heads and shoulders above last season, which I did enjoy, but I'm really enjoying this season a lot more. The big piece of this episode, and then we're going to get into feedback. And again, we had to wait to the last seconds, really, of this episode of Sherlock outing Nora. To which I asked the question, is Nora a pawn in all of this? I think so, because I don't think she truly understands, and I've made this point before, I don't think she truly understands what Reverse Flash Thawne is all about. And I think she's being played. 100%. We just need to see it play out. Now, that might not be the case, but I really think that she is. But I do side with some people who commented that Nora should have been the one to tell her secret, but I think Sherlock did what he had to do. And I mean, I'm staring at my screen right now and I see a thumbnail. It's an image from the episode. It's Barry about to shed that tear, and he outs her right in front of Team Flash. Finally. Now, they are all in disbelief, in shock, in awe. But again, we've known about it since like the first episode. second episode, whenever we first saw her go to 2049. So we, the audience, had been privy to this for quite some time. Barry reacted in a way that I didn't see coming, which was to throw her into the pipeline. Reflecting back on it, it's a pretty good gut reaction. Based on his experience with Reverse Flash, based on the team's experience with Reverse Flash, how could he not think that something was truly wrong with finding out his daughter was somehow partnered, working with, being tutored by Thawne? And to go back to my previous point, is she a pawn in all of this? Yes. I think she's been sold a bill of goods. I think, and we're going to see this, I think, hopefully, we get a flash forward, flash back. I think a lot of the next episode, which we have to wait like a month for. My goodness. May sweeps. Really? Why not just give us more episodes? Come on. Well, then we wouldn't get great episodes like Grodd versus King Shark. But I think in that episode, we're going to get some future flashbacks of that relationship. So that will be good. And I do look forward to that. The other piece that I thought was interesting, and I think I kind of thought finally they wrapped up the Orlan Cicada storyline by unfortunately killing him. Plain and simple. Grace doesn't take no blank from nobody. So bye-bye Orlan. Grace is sick in the head, and obviously that injury certainly never got better. Again, is somebody pulling the string for her in the future? Did Reverse Flash send her back? We don't know a lot about what's happened since in the original timeline Barry disappears with Crisis. Obviously that's all shifting. So we're going to see, you know, what happens. I'm glad that storyline is over. Let's get into feedback. So we got a voicemail. We got some Facebook feedback. So let us dive right in. So first up for feedback, we have from an email from Spider-Gwen Loves Miles Morales. And the email says, writers love when the A and B plot lines converge. In this instance, they shoehorned the episode B plot, a woman keeping her meta abilities from her family, into the season B plot. Nora hiding her relationship with Eobard. Barry was pretty heavy-handed in his condemnation of Vicky Bolin, considering he reveals his quote-unquote secret identity to almost everyone he meets. His new cowl is one level above a pair of glasses. It's not shocking he thinks people are required to share everything with their family. The woman wasn't a vigilante living a double life. She had meta abilities that didn't seem particularly useful in day-to-day life. Barry expects her to reveal her secret to a preteen, her daughter. If there's one thing kids are known for, it's not revealing secrets about their families. Sarcasm. See you in April. Thank you, Spider-Gwen Loves Miles Morales. Yeah, again, and I mentioned this point, could they have done this episode without a whole separate storyline that paralleled what was going on? Yes. So I wish they did, but you know, we get what we get. Now let's shift gears and let's go to the voicemail. So this comes to us from Jeff. Take it away, Jeff.
This is Jeff, Agent Full Quiver, and I'm calling with a harebrained theory for the season. I don't think Nora will survive the season. I think her timeline will be wiped out and she'll no longer exist. And then in the future, Barry and Iris, instead of having Nora, who does not exist in the comics, will actually have the twins, Dawn and Dawn, that they have in the comics. So I'm sure I will be proved wrong, but I thought I would share my harebrained scheme. Keep up the good work, guys. Agent Full Quiver out.
Thank you, Agent Full Quiver. Great superhero name. Thank you for calling in. That's your first time calling in while I've been on the show, so hopefully we hear from you for the rest of the episodes. But in terms of a harebrained theory, I don't think that that's harebrained at all. Not in the slightest. I think it is, as X-Force 11 agrees with you, because he's watching live as I stream this, he also believes good theory. And I think it may come to pass, because how else are we going to get to the Tornado Twins? How are we going to get more diapers? We're going to need more diapers. I can't wait to get that line paid off. That's going to be something that makes me go, ooh, diapers. And as somebody who's the father of a three-year-old who is almost out of diapers, that makes me very happy. Next up, we've got feedback from Montefescu. Monty, in advance, love your emails. Here we go. Another email from Monty. Hello, CCU people. Unhappy, but not for the reasons one thinks. Monty here. Here's the review. Sterling Gates wrote this episode. I know him from his Supergirl run at DC Comics. That he wrote this story is good. That Rob Greenlee directed it is good. That the Flash Ensemble acts off a good script with a competent director in charge is good. I keep repeating myself, it is good. So why am I unhappy? Here's Monty's notes on production values, directing, and writing. Director competency means nothing too flashy, pun, when the script calls for story theme front and center. Everything Greenlee attempts is according to the script with minimal deviation, including the right way to handle a Nora and the group shot when she is preempted by Sherlock before she can tell her secret. If you remember from my complaint about the botched camera work I saw in Failure is an Orphan. Yes, definitely remember the feedback, and certainly it was shot interestingly, and I actually, because of you, Monty, definitely saw that scene in a different way on the second watch. I thought it was... I didn't like the way it was shot. Maybe because of you pointing that sort of thing out, which has made me more attuned to it. So, thank you. And here's what Monty says about the writing in the episode. Keeping secrets is dangerous and incurs distrust. The Bolin family, featuring the mom, who Sisko will codename at some point Time Bomb, is the set theme example. While Nora has her own Time Bomb secret ongoing, counting down as inevitably as the doomsday clock in Eobard's chicken coop. The chicken coop, I like that. Gates has a known habit for liking to pun and run at least two metaphors as themes in his stories, and this episode is no different. In fact, the Sisko-Ralph gag plot is that third string of meme that ties into the theme. With great power comes great urges by Ralphie Boy to turn Victoria Park into a Spider-Woman. Funny. I never knew that Sterling Gates was such a Marvel fanboy. Personally, I can't stand Peter Parker. The putz. I prefer Spider-Gwen and Miles Morales. I'm not sure how I should approach the way time paradoxes occur in this episode as written. The two time spheres as the same object in two separate locations within the contingent casualty path loop radius at the same time. Kaboom! If Harley were here, she would tell you that the physics result should be loud, noisy, and extremely unpleasant. I miss Harley. Harley, I hope you're listening. Miss you. That's me, the professor, saying it. Loud, noisy, extremely unpleasant, and about the size of British Columbia, turned into naked quark events. Wow. Giant plot hole. See, I didn't see that as a giant plot hole, and as I mentioned early in the episode, I think it worked. I think it served its purpose, and certainly fit into, you know, how time travel works, and quite frankly, I think it was something that showed how time actually works. Whereas, whether it's Legends or here, we've never seen them do Operation Shazam. So, I thought it was effective. Here's what Monty says about acting. Did I suggest Sarah Carter would be a better Cicada? How about Chris Klein finally acting to his potential? Of course he had to rise to his occasion. Nothing like dying motivates an actor into his best performance on the show. Bravo. One hand clapping. Usual great work by the ensemble cast when they have a good script. And now he finally gets to, why is he unhappy? All right, Monty, lay it on us. So why is he unhappy? Nora gets locked up. It is one of those Barry Snap decisions that he will regret regret all too soon. And it is not like Barry has room to be so snap judgmental. After all, TV Tropes has a trope just for him. Quote, way to screw up the timeline, Barry. Yep. Joe West will have to come along next episode and whap Barry upside the head in the next episode to remind the Flash of the many, many times he screwed up. Now, even though Monty was unhappy and had some critiques, Monty rated this episode basically, when I do my math, 10 out of 10. Monty, thank you for your feedback. As always, Jada and I truly appreciate it, and I do enjoy reading your emails as soon as I get them, and I love sharing them here on the podcast. Next up, we have a couple of Facebook comments. First from Faith, and Faith said, quote, okay, this episode was solid. I loved it. From beginning to end, it worked. I'm a bit disappointed that Nora didn't figure out Grace was Cicada 2 sooner, but it falls within her character to take a little more time to put things together. I'm mad at Sherlock. I know that he loves solving a good mystery, but he just straight up railroaded Nora. I still think Barry would have been upset, but I feel like the reaction would have been different if Nora had spoken up. I can speak as a parent, and if you're a parent listening, yeah, when, say, you get a call from the principal or a teacher about your child doing something bad, it's worse than if your child came home and openly told you, hey, here's something I did wrong. So I can relate to that. And thank you, Faith, for being a part of the Facebook group and sharing your feedback on the episode. And next up, we got a comment from Jeff in the Facebook group. Not X-Force 11, different Jeff. Jeff with a J. Thank you, Jeff with a J. Could that be a superhero name? Jeff with a J. So Jeff says, I don't know what to make of both cicadas this episode. On the one hand, I liked that we got a conclusion to Dwyer's arc, and he went out with his character redeemed. Absolutely. But Grace, on the other hand, some of her decisions don't make sense to me. Why did she have to kill Dwyer at the end? He wasn't a threat to her plan. Even with that, small negative, still a solid episode. Well, Jeff with a J, here's my thoughts. He was a threat because he wasn't supporting her, and she's crazy. She is crazy, so she saw him as a threat. We didn't. She feared that, you're not with me, you're against me, goodbye. Now, obviously time works in strange and mysterious ways. How is he going to train her if now he's gone? Because eventually Grace of the present is going to come out of that coma. I guess time will tell. What? It's
Whoa.
Like it's like Pee-wee's Playhouse. Welcome through the breach from... I'm going to say Earth 80 because Batman is now 80 years old. All the way from Gotham and Gotham Undercover. X-Force 11, what's up?
It is great to be here. You know, this episode of The Flash, the thing I really enjoyed about it was the Tom Cavanaugh section. I really, really enjoyed getting to see Tom bring back some of that first season magic. I think he really had fun figuring things out and trying to put himself in Thawne Wells' shoes. And it was really cool to see him do that detective work. I just really haven't liked Sherlock. And so to see him do something different was a lot of fun. And while I didn't appreciate him kind of stealing Nora's thunder, I really appreciated him pushing that forward to see where we're going. So I really appreciated that. And I would like to see him, a little more reverse Flash Tom Cavanaugh in the rest of this season.
I also thought it was really creepy how well Sherlock could become that version of Wells sitting in the chair in the mm-hmm. Stark Hives. It really got me when he put the glasses on.
Yeah.
Because I think he even said something to the effect of, you have to become the man.
Right, which is an echo of Thawne at the beginning of the season saying that he had to... You know, in order to become somebody, he had to know all about who they are, and he was referencing Sherlock. So I think it plays really well.
It also made me think, Jada and I had talked about this, like, is it possible that this version of Wells the Sherlock somehow becomes Bond? I don't know. Have you picked up at all this season?
Yeah, I've wondered that since y'all said it. I didn't really consider it until y'all talked about it. But yeah, it could be some way. There would have to be some sort of mind wipe so that the personality gets somewhat put to the side, because Sherlock does have a strong personality. But I can really, maybe he gets so obsessed with trying to stop the man that he becomes the man. I don't know. It would be an interesting twist to see them take it in that direction.
That would be like the inception of the Reverse Flash.
Yes.
Because that's how Reverse Flash got to be that in the first place, idolizing Barry. Now somebody idolizes sort of Reverse Flash and then becomes the Reverse Flash. That would be ridiculous.
So what did you think about, and maybe I missed it, this, the MacGuffin that we had missed in the wheelchair, the drive in the wheelchair that he plugs into Gideon?
In regards to what, the fact that that exists and there was information?
Right. After all these years that they didn't examine that wheelchair for any other things, they just missed that in all their time studying it.
There's only one thing I can chalk that up to.
Explain nothing.
Yeah. Plot device at work.
It's convenient. Mm-hmm. And I don't put it past Team Flash to not have gone over that wheelchair with a fine tooth comb. And maybe there's some, you know, biometrics involved in being able to open that compartment. And
okay.
And technically speaking, Sherlock is, I mean, he fools Gideon every time he talks to her. Apparently, Gideon doesn't know French.
No. But yeah, I'm interested to see. You were talking about the dynamic of Barry and Nora, and she's been so eager. I'm not sure what age they're playing her in the continuity, but she seems so mentally young and naive, and yet some of that is not having Barry around as a father. But she, I guess, was so looking for a way to save her father that she got roped in to what Thawne is trying to do. But it seems like she's being played as naive through most of it. But I just appreciate that sense of just betrayal and are wanting to be able to share but not being able to there at the end of the episode. I think the actress just did a really good job of portraying that, of that wanting to share, but, you know, knowing it's going to hurt everybody that she's grown to love, and that betrayal. So I think she did a really good job with that.
Absolutely. I agree. And she has definitely, and character wise, Nora is absolutely naive.
Mm.
You know, there's a point, and I think we're going to get that in the next episode, where we get these flashback forwards and we're going to see how exactly that partnership came to be.
So I think we're going to I'm looking forward to that.
I think we're going to get a younger version of Nora, or maybe it's the same version, that how she meets Reverse Flash, what he says to bring her into the fold. And again, as Sherlock points out, he is serving his purpose. It's his agenda, and he's able to mask that in, "I'll help you save your father."
Yeah. I'm excited to see that. I'm also excited to see what this sort of deadline is on Thawne, that he is so resigned that he is willing to tell Nora to tell her father about them. I'm just interested to see if there's somebody, a bigger bad, that he's having to come up against, or what the situation is there.
I think part of it might just, I wouldn't put it past him if maybe, and I've seen this, that you know, maybe he's up against being given in that timeline, the metahuman cure, where maybe there's no death penalty, but time's going to tick and then we're going to take your powers away. Yeah. That may be part of his sentence. But I think maybe this entire thing is so calculated by him. Because again, he was definitive by saying, you know, he's the only speedster who knows how to manipulate the timeline. And we've seen through whether it's Legends of Tomorrow and previous appearances on The Flash, he is really good at manipulating the timeline and came up with the whole the timeline is malleable theory. We see that in the video log when he comes up with this language. It's his theory.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where this season takes us. I'm excited to kind of get rid of Cicada because it was interesting, but we knew that wasn't the biggest bad in the season. And honestly, I think Grace plays a little bit bigger bad than her dad does in this season. And so, Reverse Flash has always been, he is Flash's big bad to end all big bads. I mean, he is like the Joker to Batman. So it's very cool to say, okay, how is this going to play out the rest of the season? So I'm excited about that and just can't wait to see what happens.
Now, do you think that this all will factor in? You think we'll see something at the end of the year that relates to Crisis?
That's an interesting theory because it seems like with Arrow that they may be teeing it up. And we haven't yet heard definitively when Crisis is going to happen because there's some speculation that it's going to happen at the beginning of the season as opposed to at the mid-season break. So I think they can tee it up even without it being, you know, at the beginning of the season, but to lay those seeds so that they can go previously on Flash, you know, those things that kind of tee it up. Because I think... for the Flashverse, it may draw in Reverse Flash, working maybe with the Animonitor. I don't know, but I don't. That's the interesting thing. I just don't know if it all depends on when they're teeing up Crisis. Because to me, mid-season seems good because of Arrow, but I just don't know. And, you know, it could be that they tee it up and it does happen at the beginning of the season. We just don't know. And it's just interesting to speculate, but I just don't know.
What I will throw out there is I don't think with Arrow getting that 10 episode order for basically half a season, I don't think they can do the crossover in episode, say, 9 and then only come back with one. Or let's say they do it in episode 8. I don't think you can follow that up with only 2 more episodes of Arrow. So I think they're intentional about when they say fall, episode 8, that's not the fall. That's like the beginning of winter.
Right.
So I'm hoping for across the shows, it's something that threads them all together. Not cross them over every week for like 5 weeks, although I won't say no to that. But something that threads them, we're dealing with it on each episode, and maybe there's multiple episodes that cross over, and then let's say episode 4 or 5, now you get that multi-night crossover, and then for Arrow's sake, you get 4 episodes, let's say, of post-crisis wrap-up. And maybe Oliver goes out, maybe he dies, that's the trade, but then you get some resolution where over those last few episodes, he's not dead, but he goes and does something else, which allows them to end that show or set up spinoffs or where the characters go from there.
Right. Yeah. What I'm really hoping is, and I'm seeing it somewhat in this season, is the maturity of Barry of having to be a father out of the gate, of parenting a adult child, and then maybe that, you know, like we talked about, you know, it, she gets erased and they're raising twins. And so I think this maturity hopefully will continue, that he's a little more steady, because we're several seasons into Barry, and I appreciate his energy and his levels of enthusiasm, but I really want to see him step up and be mature. And I think in the crisis, as it's written in the comics, step up and sacrifice himself to make a difference. And if they're going to give that role to Ollie, I just hope that they continue that maturity that we have, so that, you know, he kind of carries on.
I don't think that's so far-fetched, and I think the Flash is going to have to almost come of age, and he's going to have to grow up. And you actually, I don't know if this is a Freudian slip, but you called it the Flashverse within the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So everybody's got to change their letterhead now. Update your business cards.
That's right.
Nice. We had a couple of comments here since we are live in the Central City Underground Facebook group. Bianca, she is letting us know that she also is not liking Sherlock. And Harley Quinn popped in a little bit, and I guess maybe she would have liked to have joined our broadcast, but I guess she's doing Harley Quinn type activities, which probably means momming it up. So
that, or she could be, you know, watching another episode of Constantine, that, you know, she's kind of watching those in the hiatus that they're having, and she's got to finish up quick because Legends comes back next week. So,
I mean, that there weren't that many episodes of Constantine to begin with. Although I have heard that he might be, we're totally going everywhere, they might be bringing that show back.
Yeah, I would like to see that come on the DC streaming service. That would be ideal for me. But as far as rights, who knows how that's going to work.
Jeff, do you have the DC streaming service?
Yes, I bought that for the main reason of Young Justice. I wanted to see that third season. But I was highly impressed after maybe, say, the first episode or so with Titans. That surprised me. Young Justice, I loved it. Doom Patrol is interesting. Not a huge fan, but it's very interesting. But the features on there, the content that you can watch and the stuff that you can read makes it worth my while. Doing some research on Batwoman, looking forward to some of the live action shows coming up. And I would, you know, what frustrates me is Warner, I think, is going to take for their streaming service the CW shows, as far as in take them away from Netflix. Instead of them going to the logical choice, the DC streaming service, you know, Warner says, hey, we need some content. Let's take the CW show. So, you know, but like I said, I think it, for me, it's worthwhile in the content that it provides.
Bianca also likes Doom Patrol, though she says it's pretty spotty for her.
Hmm.
I think their trailers are good when I see the previews on like YouTube videos.
I think the idea and the acting is good. It's almost like a R-rated Legends in some way. It's kind of wacky, but it's got the, you know, it's curse words and different content. But I think some of the actors really shine in that. You know, it's interesting.
Obviously it's a more mature series, but it kind of has almost like the campy feel of Batman 66, but obviously with the more mature content and language, but it to me, it comes across as a little more campy, but you know, we'll see. I know they're ramping up for Swamp Thing and, you know, the second half of Young Justice. So obviously a lot of great content. All right. As we start to wrap up this episode of CCU, we want to remind you that, hey, like Jeff has participated, he typically sends us voicemails, but here we got him live on the podcast. For those of you that want to send in feedback, you can do that by calling the Golden Spiral Media feedback line. The number is 304-837-2278. You can also go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. Connect with this podcast on Twitter at TheFlashGSM. And where I'm broadcasting this live into the Facebook group, you can join up and join us at facebook.com/groups/TheFlashGSM. You want to do some flash forward with me, X-Force 11?
Sure.
All righty. So the next episode of The Flash, episode 18, titled Godspeed, like we're going away, nothing else needs to be implied. Goodbye, that's what we're going to go with. For some reason, we don't have a description of this episode titled Godspeed.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, now, I sound like an idiot because a number of episodes ago, I said an episode was going to be directed by Daniel Panabaker, and it was not the one I said. It is this one, episode 18, which, sadly, doesn't come at us until April 16th.
Mm-hmm.
So, X-Force 11, what are your thoughts on saying goodbye in Old English to people?
I think that's a red herring, but it's been interesting.
I think it's a white and yellow herring.
Yeah, there you go. It's been interesting watching. I follow Danielle on Instagram, and she's had some very, bits and pieces talking about the process of directing an episode and how good the Flash team was at helping her and supporting her. And she was very good not to reveal anything about the episode. So I'm sure that CW kind of clamped down on, say, you can't share anything about the episode. But she was really appreciative of getting the opportunity to direct. And that's a big episode for somebody who's really first time directing, introducing a character that's that big in the comics.
Now, hopefully, and I hope they don't do this, I hope this isn't a case of like what they did with the Accelerated Man when he came on for like 2 seconds. Now, I also, and from watching some stuff on YouTube and reading some stuff, I've seen pictures of this Godspeed costume.
Mm-hmm.
It is not, doesn't look like the kind of costume that they just sort of threw together and they're only going to put on screen for a brief minute.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to the writers and the producers for teeing up what's probably going to be maybe your season 6 villain. So there's a lot of directions they could go in.
Yeah, that would be exciting. Because he's a villain, anti-hero, they can go a lot of directions. And so they may introduce him as a villain and then switch it to more the anti-hero. I think that's sorely lacking since we've lost Captain Cold.
Yeah. To put it in terms that Earth 80 would understand, he might be like the Red Hood of the Flashverse.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't have a ton of background with Godspeed. That was a little after I was reading some of the Justice League stuff, but it sounds exciting, and I'm interested to see, because are they going to bring him in as somebody new working with the CCPD like he is in the comics? Is it going to be an introduction a different way? It's going to be exciting to see the way that they go from here.
Well, I think based on what he actually is in the comics, he's not, I mean, he's got a cool name, he's got a cool suit, but he's not really like a major player and he's relatively new. So perhaps they will blend him with something else from Flash canon and Flash history and kind of blend two characters together. Because obviously You know, we got that with Savitar. That was something totally they put together for the show that just used a name and stuck Barry in a suit. So maybe this version of Godspeed certainly could be something different. Maybe Godspeed winds up being and maybe somehow becomes Red Death, or somehow this leads to Red Death, which they teased up. So many different directions that they could go in. But again, we have to wait like a month.
These hiatuses, I tell you.
No fun. But I think what we'll try to do here on the podcast is maybe come at you with a couple of more episodes between now and April 16th. Maybe we'll come live again here in the Facebook group and we can have some more fun conversations, because thank you, Jeff. You made sure and helped me that it worked. So thank you for taking some time to come in here and chat about The Flash.
No problem. Enjoyed it.
Now, since I have you here, you also host Gotham Undercover, which is another Golden Spiral Media podcast. Gotham's wrapping up. What does the future hold for Gotham Undercover with just a few episodes to go on TV?
Well, our hopes are that the Batwoman pilot will go well and will get picked up. We hope that that happens. And it is mine and Karen's hope that if that picks up, then Gotham Undercover will go from covering the TV show Gotham, located in Gotham, to covering Batwoman, located in Gotham. So that's kind of our hopes. We still don't, like I said, the pilot, I think, was being filmed this month or next. It looks favorable. And I've been using the DC streaming service to do some reading on Batwoman. So we kind of hope to move over directly into the CW-verse, cover Batwoman. We don't know if they get picked up, if it's going to be a fall show, if they're going to tee it up to take over Arrow's spot, or if they're going to have another show, a direct spinoff of Arrow, take over that spot, but we'll still start, you know, Batwoman will start in the spring. But that's kind of us playing with things. That's what we'd like to do if they pick it up.
Nice. And where can people find Gotham Undercover if they're not listening already?
You can go to facebook.com/group/Gotham Undercover. Just search for us on Instagram, all those social media, Gotham GSM. We're out there, and you can always find the blog post and the podcast at goldenspiralmedia.com.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. We will see you next time on Central City Underground.
See ya.